Let's get into the word. I'm very excited today. Let's just calm ourselves down and hear God's word. Now let's go straight to Matthew 11 verse 28. If you've been in our church long enough, you'll understand that I have a tendency of hanging into a scripture. I have a tendency of just going deep and unpacking scriptures, and I love doing that. And let's do that again this morning. So Matthew 11 verse 28, the Bible says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to Jesus. It doesn't matter what type of burden you are carrying. He says, "Come to me, because I have a solution for you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." How many of us need rest in their souls today? I need so much rest in my soul. Glory be to God. And there's a promise here. He says, "Come to me and I will give you what you're looking for. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for your emotions, for your willpower, for your intellect." The Lord wants to give you rest. Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, you find us in the middle of a series titled Finding True Rest. Finding true rest. I want you to know the reason why I've got that word true rest. The term is because there is not so much true rest that you find. Sometimes you enter into a space where it offers you temporary relief, but it doesn't go far enough to change your life. But there is a way where we can find true rest. Now, this morning, we're not doing part three of this series. This morning, I want to spend more time on verse 29 and 30 of Matthew 11. And I have titled my message this morning, "The Great Exchange." The Great Exchange. What am I talking about here? We'll get there. Now, over the past few weeks, we've been going through this series and we've been examining two main concepts. The first concept is that many people are weary. Many people are tired and they are heavily burdened. You know, people might not talk, but people are dying under the weight of life. That is why when you meet people, you've got to learn to ask one question deeper. You've got to learn how to draw people out until they open up. These days, we just used to asking questions like, "How you doing?" And you don't wait for an answer. You move on to the next question. More often than not, when people ask you how you doing, it's not because they really want to know how you're doing. Because if you really want to know how I'm doing, I don't know if you've got enough time to listen to what I'm carrying. So next time when you come to me and say, "Pastor, how are you doing?" Don't rush the next question. Just wait for me to give you an answer. I'm talking about relational intelligence. We've got to learn as a church to go deeper with one another. So that when you come to church tomorrow, when I look at Spusiso, I need to be able to know, this is the situation with this man and I need to pray for him. Why? Because last week I said, "How are you doing?" And we sat down on the corner of the stage and he unpacked his life. When last did somebody really came out? Do you know that people come to church hoping that somebody would see them? And I'm not talking about just seeing physically. Somebody would pay a little bit of attention. Because when I go to work tomorrow, nobody really cares what happened last night. They care about you coming to clock in. If you don't clock in, we phone you. Not because we care whether something wrong has happened to you. We're calling you because we want you to make money for us. People don't care. Now, the church has to be different. The community of believers has to cross a certain line and say, we are not just an organization. We're an organism that gives life. I don't know if we do this in our church. But how you doing is a very good question. Well done for asking that question. Now, people are burdened. People are in need of relief. And let me tell you something. If people don't find relief in church, they'll look for alternatives somewhere else. And usually those alternatives are not good. So we looked at these two concepts. Firstly, people are weary and burdened. And then secondly, Jesus invites people to come and encounter rest in him, to come and experience his rest. Now, Jesus was talking to people who were burdened by many issues. And one of those issues, which I haven't touched a lot on, are issues which included religious burdens. Burdens that were placed on them by spiritual leaders of that time. And listen, talking about religious burdens, I've already said the church is a beautiful place. The church is the solution to the many problems people face. But the church can also be a tough place to be in. The church can really turn the heart of a pastor into a stony heart. Church folk, not you guys, but church folk. Especially when there is a religious spirit at work in a church. That church ceases from being a life-giving place to being very close to a prison. I don't know about Go Church, whether are we a life-giving church or we are pretty much like a prison. You see, the religious leaders at that time were placing demands and requirements that God never put on people. And our churches today are guilty of that. That's why in the Bible you find that Jesus came out guns blazing and fighting against the spirit of the day. He was fighting against religious burdens that were placed on God's people. That is why in Matthew 23 you find him deriding the leaders for hypocrisy and the heavy rules they were imposing on God's people. The Pharisees prioritized legalistic things over the more important things like mercy, justice, and faithfulness. They were more concerned about how many times you clock into church. They were more concerned about how many times and how much you give. Again, there's nothing wrong with all of these things. But the moment we place a demand on God's people that God does not place, we are out of tune with the Lord. Listen to me. God designed his church to be a place of rest, a place of restoration, a place of release. That pretty reminds me of our church in Cape Town. I was part of a church for 10 years, and that was the mandate of that church, to be a place of rest, restoration, and release. And I quite felt good saying that here, because I was part of that. I was rested, I was restored, I was released from that church. And I'm saying that's what the church is supposed to be. When people come to church, they're supposed to be at rest. They're supposed to be restored. And after they are totally restored, they are released into what God has called them to do. But if we are not careful, the church can be a place where lives are destroyed. I don't know how many of us, you know, I love church, but it's important that I call out certain things. Because many of us here, there are some of us who are victims of the modern day Pharisees. You know what? If we are not careful, we can become more righteous than God himself. To a point where there is no room for healing and restoration in the church of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. We must be careful of becoming more righteous than God himself. When God says, I have forgiven you, the church holds it against you. One of the things that we need to work on as a church is the whole process of restoration. When somebody has missed the mark, they committed a grave sin, the church is lousy at restoring people. I'm not here to condone bad behavior and all sorts of things. No, I'm saying as a church, we must ask ourselves, how good are we at restoring the sheep that has been injured? The soldier that has fallen in the battlefield, how good are we at that? The religious leaders of that time were so hard on God's people that they made it so impossible to come closer to knowing God. Put this down. And this has to do with us pastors. Whenever a leader places a demand on you, you must always weigh it with God's word. I'm not advocating for a rebellious spirit. Don't say the pastor is saying now we can question everything. No. But I'm saying everything that is positioned before you, do not be gullible. Put it under the light, the magnifying glasses of God's word. That is why today we have a lot of believers who are just following lousy and ungodly preachers. Why do we have people following pastors who make you drink petrol or eat grass or kiss snakes? Why? Because he's a prophet. Why do we have our young girls falling in for these men of God? Because you are ministering to the men of God. Is that what the word of God asking you to do? God forbid. Therefore, anything that is requested of you, ask yourself, is it in line with God's word? And by the way, you won't be the first one. There was a church called the Church of the Bereans. This church, after Apostle Paul would teach the word, they would go home and they would study. They would question. They would interrogate, not because they were rebellious, but because they really want to make sure that they're building their faith on the truth. You know, sometimes as preachers and pastors, we have preferences, but not necessarily scriptural preferences. So it's important that you, as a child of God, you know the word of God. So what am I saying? Don't carry religious burdens that are not scriptural. Because you will end up hating church and leaving church. The reason why many people haven't been to church for years is because they left church. They did not leave God. It's a contradiction, but they still love God, but they can't stand church. They need healing. Because at some point when you find healing, you'll be able to love church regardless of its flaws. I want you to know the church is not a perfect place. We are not in heaven yet. But when you receive healing, you're able to come into a church like this and say, I still love the church of Jesus Christ, though it has flaws, but I love the church of Jesus Christ. Because I can tell you now, there isn't any other institution that God wants to use to redeem mankind. It's like a sweet, sour type of relationship you'll have with the church. But never run away from church. No matter what church does to you, you know that church is separate from God. Let me tell you something. This church has always been perfect. We've always been perfect. The time it became imperfect was when you joined the church. Without you, this church is awesome. Let me say that again. Without me, this church is the greatest place you can find. The moment you add me, you that day when I signed, back then, the problem started. So as long as you've got human beings in the church of Jesus Christ, you'll never find a perfect church. Therefore, let's be gracious with this bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's keep on working. We'll get it right. If not on this side of life, on that other side of life. Glory be to God. Now, what burdens have you been carrying because of church? What burdens have you been carrying because of church? Now, like we said last week, Jesus invites the weary and the burdened to come. And I believe he's inviting some of you who've been burdened religiously to a new relationship. A relationship where there's an ease. A relationship where you say, he puts me down by green pastures. Right beside still waters. There's a relationship that Jesus is calling you to, but you've been saying, I can't do church no more because church has hurt me so much. But there's a place today where Jesus is saying, come to me. I know church hasn't been good, but I'm good. Hallelujah. So let's not confuse church with the Lord of the church. Now, so he beckons you, he invites you into another relationship where he says, I want to give you something. Now, the interesting thing here is that part of his solution involves us laying down one burden, but at the same time, you don't leave empty. You cast your burden, you don't leave empty, you pick up another burden. In other words, an exchange of burdens happens. At the feet of the cross, at the feet of Jesus, there's an exchange of burdens, people of God. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Like I always say, when you read scriptures, go slowly. There's a great exchange there. Come to me, all you that are weary, all of you that are heavily burdened, and I'll give you rest. But wait a moment, take up my cross, take up my yoke, take up my burden, and you will find rest. But Lord, you're not making sense. I came with my burden. You want me to live with another burden? How? Make it make sense to me. Like the Gen Z's would say, make it make sense to me. I came with my burden and I thought I am done. I'm no longer going to carry anything. But you say to me, before you go, by the way, there's another one for you. Pick it up. Pick it up. There's an exchange that happens at the foot of the cross. It is as if you lay down your burden, but at the same time, you pick up a different type of burden. If you're taking notes, put this down. True rest is only possible when you can exchange your burden with the burden of Christ. We will always carry burdens. It depends on which type of burden you're carrying. Is it your own burden or it is the burden of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. There are no free loafers in the kingdom of God. There's no free lunch in the kingdom of God. Hey, like they say, salvation is free, but it was very expensive. It costed somebody's life. Jesus had to die. So true rest is only possible when you can exchange your burden with the burden of Christ. Allow me to say something here. The church of Jesus Christ has been decimated by the spirit of consumerism, where it's about what I can get, who can visit me, who can pray for me? Who can walk with me? But never to say, what can I give? Who can I visit? Somebody says it should not be about what the country can do for you. It should be, what can you do for the country? And the Lord Jesus comes and says, leave your burden, but you're not going empty. You are going with another type of burden. So listen, there is a technology of finding rest that we need to understand and to grapple with if we are to experience true rest. The reason why many of us will go in life without finding true rest is because we haven't mastered what I would call the technology of the rest of God. You see, true rest can only happen when you are able to lay down your burden. When you're able to lay down your burden and then you are prepared to take up the burden of Christ. So you cannot pick the burden of Christ whilst you are carrying your own. It is as if Christ is saying to you, you cannot carry your own burden. I can carry it for you. But for me to carry your burden, I need you to take my burden upon you. And that is the transaction that is always happening in the spirit. And the greater to which you are able to carry the burden of Christ, the greater the dimension of rest in your life. So important for us to understand this dynamic in the spirit. Let me take you to Psalm 55, verse 22. You're going to see something beautiful there. So we sing the song, cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you, right? Now, it comes from here, but the Apostle Peter also gives us the same thing. Psalms 55, verse 22 says, cast your burden on Jehovah. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to waver or to be moved. Listen to me. In this life, every man and every woman has been allotted a burden. Let me say that again. In this life, every woman and every man has been allotted a custom-made burden. The reason why I'm calling it a custom-made burden, it is because God knows you are wired to carry the burden. So many times we look at people and you say, I thank God that it is not me going through what she's going through. Because if I was the one, I would not survive it. And you are right. We thank God that he never allowed you to go through what that person is going through. I want you to know that whatever you're going through now, it doesn't mean the devil is stronger than God. It simply means that God has allowed life to happen in a certain way in your life. One that was custom made for you. Now, that word, burden, when you go into the root of that word, you find that it signifies a type of gift received from God. Go and read the Hebrew around that word, burden. It has a connotation of a gift received from God. In other words, in inverted commas, the challenges you are going through is kind of a gift given by the Most High God with your name written on it, with the correct address. It's a gift from God. A gift. You know, usually a gift is a good thing, right? When you receive a gift, you look forward to unwrap it. So whatever trouble you're going through, unwrap the trouble. It's a gift from the Lord. So sometimes God will allow burdens to come away for refinement and growth. There's a statement I wrote on my, I normally don't put stuff on my WhatsApp status. But on that statement, I said, growth does not happen in comfort, but growth happens in chaos. Maturity does not happen when you're lounging off on your bed. Maturity happens when you are working out, when you are looking out to God for a way out, when you are trusting the Most High God to do something with your life. And as you do that, you are refined. You're getting closer and closer to God. And when He is done with you, you are ready for purpose. How many of us here have prepared an oxtail? I love oxtail. But do you know how long it takes for the oxtail to get to a point where if you pick it up, the meat just falls off the bones? Probably the whole night in the pressure cooker. Some of you are in the pressure cooker. You have just done the first hour of the night. Some of you are halfway through the pressure cooking process. But stay in the pressure cooker, hallelujah, because joy comes in the morning. My wife does that sometimes. She leaves it in the pressure cooker with all of these, what you call it? In the slow cooker. Thank you, my love. The slow cooker, not pressure cooker. Slow cooker, but yes, you're still being cooked. Right, in the slow cooker. So when she chucks everything, the spices in there at night at 8 p.m., nothing. You don't smell anything. You go to bed. You wake up in the morning. The whole house is full of this, there's an aroma in the air. What's going on here? Something was going on right through the night. Glory be to God. That is why here the word burden is a gift from the Lord. So, that portion that was assigned to you must be cast upon the Lord. That is, you are to look to Him to enable you to overcome it or to bear it. Put this down. With every burden, there is sufficient grace made available to bear it or to overcome it. With every burden, there is sufficient grace that is made available to bear it or to overcome it. So wisdom to deal with your burden is found when the burden is cast upon the Lord. Because it came from the Lord, take it back to the Lord in hallelujah. It came from the Lord, take it back to the Lord. The strength to fight another day is received when you roll your cares upon the Lord. That word to cast, it's a careless move where you roll things and you just throw them before Jesus as if you don't care. Now you see, when you roll your cares upon the Lord promises sustenance. That's why He says, cast your burden on Jehovah and He will sustain you. He will sustain you. Again, that term to sustain means that He will equip you sufficiently for the task and you'll be up for it. Cast your burdens unto Jehovah and He will sustain you. Now, being sufficient has a connotation of receiving capacity to contain. It's like there's an enlargement of your heart. It's like there's supernatural strength that you receive. Why? Because He wants to sustain you. You receive nourishment. That's the issue. We need to be able to cast our burdens unto the Lord. So when you cast your burdens to the Lord, it means that you must be prepared to walk away from it. It's very difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, like they say, you know, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult. Oh, got you. Hey, let's do it. It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult. But what? We're gonna run. It's gonna be difficult. Those of you who are not on social media, like, Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay? I'm trying to be updated here. Okay? So it's gonna be difficult. It's gonna be hard. But we're gonna run. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But we're going to run. Huh? One of the guys in the church, like, Pastor, what are you doing? But it makes sense. It's going to be difficult. As hard as it is for the oxtail in the slow cooker, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But it will get better. Hallelujah. So listen. You've got to learn how to cast your burdens unto the Lord. And one of the things that I've seen is that those who have learned to cast their burdens before the Lord can be thought of as being reckless and careless with life. Everybody that has learned the ethos and the way of casting their burdens, you can look at this person and say, you're supposed to be crying. You're supposed to be throwing off your toys, but how come you're calm? You're being careless. These people change the way they talk about their burdens. They change the way they think about their burdens, and something changes inside of them. What happens here? Instead of giving undue attention to the burden, they shift their focus on Jesus. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. They shift their focus from the burden. When you know there is nothing in the fridge, you don't even show any worry signs on your face as a mother. And your kids are looking at you and say, Mama, there's no food. But you're not worried. You're shifting your focus on Jesus. Instead of empowering the burden, you empower yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. You find strength in Jesus. Yes, your problem is big, but your God is even bigger. Philippians 4 verse 6. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace and the rest, the peace of God which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Do not be anxious. It takes faith and great discipline to overcome anxiety when you are facing a life-threatening moment. It takes faith, great discipline, not to be anxious. But the Apostle Paul comes and says, I know the temptation is big for you to be anxious. The temptation is big for you to give up on life, but do not be anxious for nothing. Put this down. Prayer and supplication are the mechanisms by which burdens are cast before the Lord. Prayers and supplications are the mechanisms by which burdens are cast before the Lord. And listen to me good. The bigger your burden, the bigger the prayers that must be coming from you. The bigger the problem, the more prayerful somebody should be. The more prayerful you are, the greater the level of rest and peace you can experience. I can see somebody going through so much problems, but they don't pray. They haven't mastered the whole idea of casting. And I want you to know, sometimes you cast it and the thing feels like it's jumping back at you. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. We're like, Lord, I cast my burden. You turn around, the thing is there. You're worried about it. But listen to me. Go back again. Keep on casting. Keep on casting. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens in your life. If that burden jumps back by itself, take it back in prayer. It might jump back for 6 times, but on the 7th time, it will stay there. Hallelujah. Because you would have mastered the way of casting your burden before the Lord. The Bible is a story of people who were able to cast their burdens to the Lord. And I want to challenge you today. Let this word mean something to you. As I was preparing yesterday, I just felt this thing in my heart where the Lord was saying, many people are hearing this word, but they're not paying attention to it. And I pray for you that you would pay attention to this word. The Bible is a story of people who were able to cast their burdens to the Lord. Talk about Hannah, the mother of the great prophet Samuel. It did not start well with her. She was barren, without child. The Bible says, for the Lord had closed her womb. Cast your burdens like a gift from the Lord. Who had closed her womb? The Lord. And she would go to her husband and says, give me a child. And the husband say, who am I? Am I God? Listen, we need to know how to cast our burdens unto the Lord. And the Bible tells us that every year Hannah would go to the temple and she would pray. She would plead with the God of heaven until one day the Lord came and says, next year this time you shall be having a baby. Cast your burdens unto the Lord. Cast that gift, because the one who gave it knows how to deal with it. Hannah prayed, and over time she was blessed with a child. The tax collector in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 13, there's a story that Jesus says a tax collector and a Pharisee came before God in prayer. The tax collector was beaten down. He felt he was not good enough. He felt he was stuck in a cycle of sin and shame. And instead of remaining stuck, he sought the Lord. I don't know what sin you're grappling with. Seek the Lord. Keep bringing it before the Lord. Lord, give me victory over this. Lord, I don't deserve your attention. I'm a man of a vile tongue. Lord, my thoughts are wicked. Lord, I need your grace. And the Bible says he found mercy and grace before the Lord. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 11, the apostle Peter was imprisoned. And the Bible says the church stood in prayer for him. They sought the face of God. Instead of worrying about God, what is going to happen? They did not worry. They brought their burden in prayer. And without knowing, the Lord released an angel and a prison break happened. And Peter was released from prison. Yes, the Apostle Paul prayed. There was a thorn on his side. He prayed and said, Lord, three times take away this thorn. And the Lord answered. But the answer was not what Paul wanted to hear. Many times we have burdens and we cast them before the Lord and we want him to answer in a certain way. He comes back to Paul and says, I know you've got a thorn, but I'm not removing it because I have made a portion of grace available for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Listen to me, child of God. Sometimes the fire won't go out. Sometimes the mountain won't move. But the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. Let me try and wrap up this thing. Now, this is the first part. You cast it. You leave it there. The second part kicks in. After laying down your burden, you must be prepared, because that job is 50% done. And many people think the job is done after doing the 50%. But you must be prepared to pick up the yoke and the burden of the Lord. And I want you to see something here, that the directive to take up his yoke and his burden comes after the invitation and the promise, where he said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Now, we've already discovered that one must respond to the invitation by faith. But that is only the first response. There is a second response which is required. While the first response to the invitation is faith-based, the second response is obedience-based. Well done for believing that Jesus can, but are you ready to walk in obedience? Yes, you have faith that Jesus can deal with your issues, but are you ready to obey the command of taking up his yoke and his burden? Now, the big question is this: what is the yoke and what is the burden of Christ? Let me see if I can give this to you in 5-7 minutes. What is the yoke and the burden of Christ. Number one, the yoke and the burden of Christ is the way of Christ. When you come to Jesus, you are introduced to the way of Christ, and that is his yoke, that is his burden. When you come to Christ, listen, life can no longer be lived on your terms. Where you wake up when you want, you go to church when you feel like it, you pray when you feel excited, you forgive when it feels good inside. You come to Christ with your burden and says, yeah, I'll carry your burden, but mine is about acknowledging my ways. It's no longer your ways, it's no longer your thoughts, it's now my ways and my thoughts. So the moment we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we cannot live by our choices, but by what he chooses for us. And I want to ask you a question today. What is God choosing for you in this season? Some of you are expecting a fat bonus as we come to the end of the year. What is the Lord saying about it? Has the Lord been opening your eyes to a certain family that is in need? And you're like, I've worked hard. Lord, you've been so good, but what you are now saying, I don't think it's you. Satan, I bind you. And the devil says, no, why are you binding me now? I have nothing to do with that. The way of the Lord is the highway. Hallelujah. Put this down. The way of Christ is the way that brings rest and peace in your storms. What is the way of Christ in that burden? Do you know that some of the burdens that we carry, it is because of how we have approached them? The pain we are going through now, it is because of how we have conceptualized the issue. Where you've been saying, I'm not going to forgive him until he feels the pain. Already you're carrying this burden over you. And Jesus comes and says, I forgive. And the day that you forgive, that burden goes. You are free. So unless you are ready to embrace the ways of Christ, you will not experience his rest. And I say that again. Unless you are ready to embrace the ways of Christ, you will not experience his rest. That is the first yoke and the first burden. The second yoke and burden is the reign of Christ, the rulership of Christ, the kingdom. When we say thy kingdom come, you are saying thy reign come, thy rulership come. You see, when you come to Christ, he takes away the control of sin in your life, right? He introduces you to something else, the control of grace and mercy. The reign of Christ is found in his grace and mercy. So there is a way that Christ reigns, and it is called the reign of grace. Oh, how much we need the reign of grace. He says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And this is what trips many people. You see, your life has been complicated by burdens. And Jesus comes and he says he has a different type of burden, one that is light. If you have experienced pain in a certain area, like a child who has been burnt with a stove, you know, the plate, the next time the child looks at that, she is reminded of the pain and she won't touch again. Now the Lord comes to you and says, I have a burden for you. And what you attach to a burden is pain. You will not be prepared to pick up the burden of Christ. Why? Because anything related to burden is pain. But Christ says, walk by faith and not by sight. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. Many people are tripped there because of that. That is why many people struggle with the grace message. They think that there is a hook behind the love of God. Why is God so loving? What does he want from me? It can't be true. But I want you to understand this morning that you are saved by grace through faith, not of works that anyone should boast. And that is the reign of grace. You need to learn to rest in Jesus and stop striving. We are trying hard to please God. We are trying to perform so that we are accepted. I want you to know that you are the accepted one of the Lord, regardless of what you do. Again, I'm not saying walk in sin, but I want you to understand what grace is about. It is stuff that we receive that you haven't worked for. So you need to learn to rest in Jesus. That is his burden. Mankind is used to working hard. And Christ comes and says, rest. Be at rest. I know you're not a good guy. Stop trying to perform. I know what you did last night. Just come in the rest of your Father. Confess your sins. That's all I want. All I want is your heart. All I want is your heart. Confess and you are forgiven. The reason why we run away from God, it is because we feel like I haven't made right. You feel like you need to make right before you come to God. It's quite close to saying to your child, before you jump into the shower, I need you to clean yourself up. Think about it. Before you're going to make the bathtub dirty, before you get into the bathtub, clean yourself. Why do you get into the bathtub? To get cleaned, right? So when we come to Christ, we are coming to be cleansed. Therefore, stop trying to clean yourself up. You can't. You got yourself in the mess anyway. His grace. I've got some examples here. He says there, come to me because I am meek and lowly. He was telling them that he is not like a taskmaster. Your Jesus is not angry at you. He is not a heavy-handed father. But rather, he's easygoing to anyone who decides to take up his yoke and burden. In Matthew 12, the story of the disciples eating the grain during a Sabbath, they were with Jesus, and the Pharisees were mad. They're saying, your guys are breaking the law. Why are they eating on a Sabbath? Why are they harvesting? And Jesus says, whoa, 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 whoa. The Sabbath was never meant, it was not something that you must worship. The Sabbath was meant for mankind. So Jesus saying, I'm easy with you. I'm concerned, were you hungry? Have something to eat. The story of Mary, the woman with demons, the Bible says she came and she washed the feet of Jesus. It was taboo for a woman who was not related romantically with a man to touch another man. And there is Jesus allowing this woman to wipe his feet with her hair. Come on, dudes. Just think about it. Just think about it. Me as a pastor here, and I'm sitting, and another girl comes and starts wiping my feet with her hair. All of you will run away from church. Like, the pastor, you know what he's doing with girls in church? But Jesus said, leave her. Leave her. For the one who has been forgiven much loves much. That's the type of Jesus we serve. He's meek and humble. And the last yoke we finished there, the correction of Christ. He corrects us. He disciplines us. Are we prepared to be corrected? Are we prepared to be redirected? So with Christ, there is correction and discipline that is found on his agape type of love. Anyone who comes to Christ will be corrected. Anyone who comes to Christ will be redirected in their ways. Put this down as a last statement. Your rest is found in allowing and accepting the correction and the discipline of Jesus. Your rest is found in allowing and accepting his correction, his discipline. The Bible says he will chastise those whom he loves. If God cannot correct you, he doesn't love you. If the Lord has never told you to stop doing certain things, he doesn't love you. But what I know, the loving God of heaven will look down and will correct us. Let's stand on our feet. Come on, let's just clap our hands to Jesus this morning. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The great exchange. The great exchange. I want you to know, the longer you bear the yoke and the burden of Christ, the lighter it gets. We bear the cross because it comes from a place of unconditional love. Today, what burden does Christ want you to pick up? Does he want you to accept his correction? Does he want you to accept his reign and his ways? I want us to pray. Talk to the Lord right now, the great exchange. Maybe the Lord has been asking you to cast a certain burden. Today, make that prayer and say, Lord, I throw this burden before you. I cannot carry it by myself. It is just too heavy for me. There's a God in heaven who is able, and he will not leave you alone. He will not allow you to be moved, but he will sustain you. Come on now, let's pray. Let's speak to the Lord. Oh, God Almighty, we thank you this morning. Father, you see the tiredness of your people, the weariness. Father, you see the burdens that people are carrying today. Spirit of the living God, we ask you that you would come. Father, we teach us, Lord, to cast our burdens. Father, sometimes it might feel like we are being careless. It might feel like we are being reckless, Lord. But we want to walk by faith. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray that by your Spirit, these your people are able to engage in this great exchange, where people are able to lay down and to pick up. Father, teach us how to lay down and to pick up, to lay down the burdens of humanity and to pick up the burdens of heaven, to pick up the things of heaven, to pick up the things of the Spirit. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray that there be a release today in the mighty name of Jesus, where your people, Father God, are able to rise up, Lord, and say yes to your ways and say yes to your guidance, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you do something with us in this season, Lord. Will you teach us, oh God, how to lay down our burdens and to pick up that which is light and that which is easy, oh God. Father, we pray today in the mighty name of Jesus.